By way of review, whenever you think of Genesis, the main keyword I'd like for you to remember is what? Big endings. Big endings. And Exodus, I want you to be thinking of the word exit. They are exiting what land? Egypt. And they look kind of sad there, I think, because they're leaving their mummies or something like that. Leviticus. Tom hates these jokes. Leviticus. There's two main themes in Leviticus. Whenever you read Leviticus, it's mostly about what two things? Feasts and offerings. Levitocus. Leviticus is feasts and offerings. And then there is the book of Numbers. And Numbers, what are they doing for 40 years? Wandering in the wilderness. And then the last book of the Pentateuch is, there's a duet, Run on a Me. Duet, Run on Deuteronomy. And when you think of Deuteronomy, you're to be thinking of what? The second law, because Deut is second, and Namas in Greek is law. So Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law, the second giving of the Ten Commandments. I need to make up some different slides so that I can rip through these things. Next one in the history section is Joshua. And Joshua, you're to be thinking of what? Conquering, very good. And Judges, you're to be thinking of cycles. It's a cycle. Does anyone remember the five S's that it's a cycle of? Sin, and then God put them into slavery, and then another word for praying, supplication, and then God brought them salvation, and then there's a period of peace, but we call it silence. And then they went into sin again, and then God put them into slavery, and then they prayed to God again, supplication, then God saved them again, salvation, and then their period of silence, then they went into sin again, the cycles that are there. The book of Ruth, and sorry for the bare bottoms there, the book of Ruth is a what? It's a love story. Love story is what I'd like for us to be thinking. First Sand Mule, First Samuel is basically about King Saul. King Saul, and what kind of a heart did he have? No heart for God. But Second Samuel, is basically about good king who? Good King David, and what kind of a heart does he have? A good heart, a heart for God. First Kings is basically about David's son, I heard it, Solomon and what? Solomon and, look at the bag. The divided kingdom, the ripping of the kingdom after Solomon. He is a solo man there. There's no other men there, solo man, Solomon. And what kind of heart does he have? A divided heart. Half of his heart is for the Lord, but the other half of his heart is for whom? Yeah, it's for women. When you think of 1 Kings, think of exile. Exile. Pardon me, this is 2 Kings. 2 Kings, they are heading toward exile. If you have been here in the past weeks, this is still by way of review. 1 Chronicles, it is basically an editorial on whose life? Good King David. 2 Chronicles is an editorial on what nation? The kingdom of Judah. Now we hit the post-exilic history books. All of these other books took place before God spanked them and put them into the Babylonian captivity and the exile. Now these next three history books occur after God spanked them and put them in the exile. And the first one is Ezra, and it's kind of a long, complicated one there, but you see the temple and you see the people jumping up and down. Well, what did we call that? Yeah, people rejoicing in building the temple. And it's building the people, getting them to rejoice in building the temple. So there's a lot of things that's going on there. He's building the people, getting them to be joyful, and getting them to build the temple. Nehemiah, he went back to Jerusalem to rebuild not the temple, but the what around Jerusalem? The walls. Walls is the main word there. And the last of the historical books, not everyone went back to Jerusalem. And that was okay. There were a number of Jews who stayed back in those lands and who were still very faithful to the Lord. One guy was a man named Mordecai, and he was the guardian of this lady right here. Her parents were dead. What is her name? Esther. And she is the queen of what country? Persia. Look at the rug and look at the cat. Good. Now, Woo, we have 20 minutes to get the next 10 down. We are looking at the poetry section. And just by way of review of poetry, this is still way of review, stuff that we've learned before. What are the two main contents of the poetry books? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. It's two W words, two words that begin with W. You're going to find these two W words throughout all of the poetry. What are they? Worship and wisdom. Worship and wisdom. Job is a worship and wisdom book. Psalms is mostly worship. Proverbs, mostly wisdom. Ecclesiastes, mostly wisdom. A little bit of worship in there. Song of Solomon, it is devotionally a worship of the Lord. Worship and wisdom. What is the point at issue in the poetical books? Do we remember? It's a phrase. It begins with an F, and it ends with Lord. And there's too little of the. Something of the Lord. Begins with an F. What's that? Fear of the Lord. What is it, when we talked about fear of the Lord, what does it mean to fear the Lord? To take him seriously. That's the vernacular, taking God seriously. Good. And what is the function of the poetical books? Why are the poetical books in our Bible? Again, all of this right here is by way of review, what we've learned before. The reason the poetical books are in our Bible is to prepare us for a perfect counseling, pastoring king. These were written by kings mostly, Solomon and David. And they didn't even follow their own advice in worship and wisdom. And so it prepares us to receive a perfect counseling, pastoring king, or a shepherd of souls. And he's on his way, by the way. Still by way of poetry, just looking at some contents in these poetical books, and then we'll get the slides up. Job, the reason it's in the Bible is possibly to reveal the perfect king and his suffering in relation to his kingdom suffering, because suffering is a big theme there. Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes is possibly the reason why they're in the Bible, possibly to reveal the perfect king and what he'll be like when he's finally found. In Psalms, the main thing of Psalms, which we'll see in just a bit, is walking the way of the Word in worship. Proverbs is about the wisdom of walking that way of the Word. Ecclesiastes, the vanity of walking any other way other than the way of the Word. And the Song of Solomon is it's the devoted attention of a woman to her husband king. And the reason it's in the Bible is possibly to reveal how we are actually going to feel when we finally meet this perfect king who in wisdom and worship walks according to the perfect way. Let's look at the slides. Job. Two S's about Job. You look at him, he doesn't look like he's going through a very nice time right there, right? Suffering, but behind the suffering, there's the hands of God, and it's another S word for God being in control. God is sovereign. Suffering and sovereignty. When you read through Job, you're going to read suffering, but especially in chapters 38 through 42, you're going to be seeing God's almighty sovereign hand enveloping the entire thing. As a matter of fact, you'll even see it in chapters 1 and 2. Did you get this? If you've ever read Job, Satan is a pawn in God's hand, and Satan is required to show up every now and again in front of God and give an account for what he's doing, even still. Isn't that right? That's what's in Job chapters 1 and 2. And Satan is so disrespectful. If you were to read it in Hebrew, God asked Satan, where have you been? And Satan says, I've been around. What's it to you? I'm only here because I have to be. It's interesting to me. Many people like to give the devil a lot of credit. I don't like to give the devil necessarily a lot of credit. He is up to something and he is real. Can I say this, though? Satan is a pawn in God's hand. Any of you deer hunters out there? Okay, a few deer hunters. Have you ever gotten a heart shot on a deer? I mean a full heart shot. When you get a full heart shot on a deer, does that deer instantly drop dead without any movement or shaking at all? No. The heart shots that I've got, well, The one hard shot I ever got on a deer. That deer jumped up and barreled and was going just to beat all. That deer is dead. It's dead. It's as good as dead. It's dead. But it's in a rage right now until its blood and nervous system all runs out and it's going to collapse. Satan, dear friends, is the exact same way. The heart shot was nailed on him at the cross. And all he is running in a rage right now. But he's as good as dead. And we have a God who's in control. Rest assured with that. It's an encouraging thing. It's an encouraging thing. So, suffering and sovereignty. Suffering and sovereignty. The book of Psalms is all about the W word, what? Worship. It is about worship. Good. And we're just going to be flying instead of getting a little bit more detailed. Proverbs is all about another W word? Wisdom. Very good. Yeah, the wise old owl there. And Ecclesiastes. The key word for the book of Ecclesiastes is, Ecclesiastes is my favorite book of the Bible. I'd love to do a sermon series on it sometime. Ecclesiastes. The key word is a word that starts with a V. Does anyone know what it is? Vanity. Vanity. Some people would interpret vanity as meaninglessness. No. That's not what the Hebrew word vanity means. The Hebrew word vanity, I want to translate as a soap bubble in the vernacular. I'll tell you the highfalutin word in just a little, a soap bubble. Life is like a soap bubble. How many of you remember when you were children, you'd stick that little wand in the little container and go out on a sunshiny day and then sometimes you try to blow one as big as you possibly could, and then sometimes you stick it in there and try to blow as many as you possibly could and then flutter your tongue and make all kinds of ones go out there. And there are times where you try to make a great big one and then you try to catch it and then try to make it last as long as you possibly could. And it's pretty. It catches the sunlight. And all the colors of the rainbow are on this thing. And man, this is really nice. Look how big this is. This is really beautiful. And then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. And life is like that. Life is not meaningless. Life is not empty. Life is temporary. Or the highfalutin word, transientness. I like the word temporary. It's only here for a little while. Vanity. Vanity. It's temporary. And so what's the main theme of Ecclesiastes? Since life is so temporary, use your life investing in something that's going to last beyond this life here. And that is getting to know God. So, fantastic book. Fantastic book. Don't have time to get there. Now, you've seen this guy's picture before. That guy, what's his name? You see his divided heart, and it's 1 Kings, and you see his money sack there, richest man ever lived. Who is it? Solomon. It's Solomon. And you see him singing. So obviously this book is the Song of Solomon. Good. And the main theme of it is love in marriage. God has given us a love in marriage. What a devotional heart should be like. Because marriage reflects Christ and the church and what our devotional heart should be like toward the Lord, but it gives the specifics about love in marriage. Song of Solomon. Good. Let's go back and review. The two S's on Job are what? Suffering and sovereignty. Good. And Psalms is all about worship, and Proverbs is all about wisdom, and Ecclesiastes is vanity. Now, how do we define vanity? Emptiness? Meaninglessness? No, temporary. Temporary. Good. And life is temporary. It's here and gone. And Song of Solomon is about what? Love and marriage. The prophets now. The prophets. We're only going to cover the major prophets by way of review so that we are fitting all of this still into a framework. By way of review, what are the two main contents of the prophetic books? Two P words. The main P word that's taking place in the prophets is what? What I heard it? Preaching. A lot of people would say prophecies and predictions. No, no, no. The main thing in the prophets is preaching. The second thing that they are doing is what? The other P word. Yeah, predictions or prophecies. Very good. And what is the point at issue in the prophetic books? Do we remember? We used Hosea as the example of this. The point at issue that God was trying to stress in all of the prophetic books is the Hebrew word chesed. If you know Hebrew, very good. It's loyal, loving kindness, or steadfast love. In ESV, in Authorized Version, King James, it's translated as loving kindness sometimes. Sometimes it's translated as mercy. Sometimes it's translated as grace or graciousness. Different translations have different words. And really, the reason for that is because it's difficult to encapsulate all of those words into it. It has a sense of loyalty to it. It has a sense of love to it and kindness that's in there. ESV has steadfast for the loyalty and love, steadfast love. And so it incorporates some of those things. The point at issue is loyal, loving kindness or steadfast love. What is the function of the prophetic books? To prepare us for a perfect what? Yeah, to prepare us for a perfect prophet. Okay, there's two groups of prophets, major prophets and minor prophets. We've talked about them already before. Why are they called major prophets? Because they're more important? Their books are longer. That's the only reason why. Good. And those major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations is only 5 chapters, but Jeremiah wrote it, and so they're together, and so it's included in the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They're major because their books are larger. And the pre-exilic major prophets, people who prophesied before the exile, are Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah had no converts whatsoever. Isaiah had no one that listened to him according to his book or the records that we have. Jeremiah had only a handful. Isaiah was a hellfire, damnation, rip-roaring, collar-grabbing, stow-tomping, face-slapping preacher. Jeremiah was the complete opposite. What do we call him? The weeping prophet. A huge heart. That's why he wrote Lamentations. In that. And then there are the exilic major prophets. What do I mean by exilic? Because up till now, I've talked about pre-exilic people or events that happened before the exile, and I've talked about post-exilic events or preachers that took place after the exile. But when I'm talking about an exilic prophet, what am I talking about? During, yeah, right in the middle of the exile. And you notice I have Jeremiah up there again. That's because Jeremiah preached right before the Babylonian captivity and then as it was taking place. As a matter of fact, a group had already been taken. His friend Ezekiel was taken into captivity over there. And then a second wave came, which took Daniel, and Jeremiah was made to go down to Egypt with everyone else. And he said, I don't want to do this. And that is the last mentioning of Jeremiah and the last mentioning of the Ark of the Covenant as well. We don't know what happened. But supposedly, a guy named Dr. Jones, who's an archaeologist, found it, and it's in some warehouse in the United States. Jeremiah, I'm just teasing about that. Jeremiah and Lamentations, the reason Lamentations is written is because we're lamenting because a number of God's people are over in Babylon and we're facing all of this terrible exile. Ezekiel, and by the way, let me explain. When the captivity took place, it wasn't just one captivity. There were 3 waves of it. Nebuchadnezzar was smart. He was the king of Babylon. The first wave came, he spanked them, he took some of the people back with him and said, "Don't, you better get in line." And he took Ezekiel with him, as well as a number of others. A few years later, Israel did not straighten up. Nebuchadnezzar came back and spanked them again. this time took Daniel and his friends. There was a third time because they didn't straighten up, and no one was taken that time because many of them were killed. And it was at that time, the third time, the temple was destroyed, the wall around Jerusalem completely torn down, and the soil sown with salt and just utter destruction in every way possible. So, Ezekiel, I'm just explaining. Ezekiel taken and Daniel over there. Okay, so let's look at the major prophets. There's five of them. You see there's an I, and I is saying something. I say... Isaiah is the first one. I know these are bad. But hey, hopefully you're looking at them and you're remembering what's going on. That's the whole purpose of it. Isaiah, and there's two G's. There's two G's, two parts to Isaiah. Chapters 1 to 39 is groan. Chapters 40 to 66 is glory. Very noticeable difference. As a matter of fact, there are some liberal Bible scholars who believe that someone else wrote chapters 1 through 39 and someone totally different wrote chapters 40 through 66, and that's not so. I don't have time to get into that. Why did I even bring it up? Isaiah. There's two parts to it. Groan and glory. The glory of looking for the Messiah, the groan because we are in our sins. And the glory, though, that God, even though he spanks his children, is not going to completely ever give up on them. God may spank us, but he'll never, ever give up on you. Isaiah. Good. Jeremiah. And this is just me personally. Don't listen to this. It's being recorded. This is the only one where I just personally disagree with this organization and their theme, but oh well, it works all right. Okay, untime. Jeremiah. There's a story in Jeremiah. God tells Jeremiah, go get a sash, take it over to Babylon, plant it by the river, bury it in the ground, then come back to Jerusalem. Okay, and he does, and then God tells Jeremiah, go back and get that thing out of the ground. Okay, so he goes back and gets it out of the ground, and it's rotten. And God says, Jeremiah, bring it back and use that as an object lesson and say to the people, you all are going to be taken to Babylon if you don't get rid of your rottenness. And so that is a theme in Jeremiah. I personally don't think it's the main theme, but it works. Jeremiah is a preacher. You know a little bit more about him. They have the theme as rotten sash. Rotten sash. Okay? Rotten sash. So think of it. Rotten sash. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and yeah. Let's move on. Lamentations. Good, good. The lamb is crying. When you think of lamentations, what do you think when you think of a lament? Crying. Yeah, very good. Or tears. Good. Tears. That's what's taking place because God's people have been spanked. And some of them are in exile. So tears, or crying. Good. Ezekiel, yeah, here's Ezekiel. And this is kind of a minor theme that's only at the end of Ezekiel, but it's necessary. Ezekiel is preaching to God's people, and he says, you all are dead. And really, here's the theme, dry bones. Dead, dry bones. But here's the great thing. God will make you live again. God isn't ever through with his people. There's always great hope throughout all the entire prophets. Whenever I think of this guy here, I call him Terry Cloth. Yeah, and the last one of the major prophets is Daniel. Daniel, and in Daniel, you see he's in the lion's den there. Daniel, and Daniel is dreaming. So Daniel dreams. Daniel dreams. We have to hurry. I'm going back. No, I'm not going to do that. Come on. Why did I do that? Why did I go back so far? I shouldn't have done that. Let's review Job is about two S words. It's what? Suffering and sovereignty. The book of Psalms is about worship. The book of Proverbs is another W word, wisdom. Ecclesiastes is a V word, vanity. The Song of Solomon, love and marriage. And we have the major prophets, Isaiah, two G's, groan and glory. Jeremiah is about the rotten sash. Good. Lamentations is tears. Good. Or crying. And Ezekiel is about dry bones. Good. And lastly, Daniel. There's a lot of dreams. Daniel has dreams and King Nebuchadnezzar has dreams. You all are learning, believe it or not, quite a bit of what is going on. You've learned the main themes of these books. And Lord willing, next week we will have 12 minor prophets. And you will have learned the entire Old Testament, a basic theme for every book, and being able to fit it, hopefully, into a frame. So you're doing well. I hope we're not wearing you out. I hope you come back as well. So let's pray and we'll go. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to be excited about what you're about in your word. Help us to follow you with all of our hearts. We ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.